This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the show. I am Meera Sivasodhi. It's our Doctor in the House series. Dr. George Lee, consultant urologist in the studio with me. How are you today, George?
I'm really happy. I'm happy to be here, obviously, you know, once every 2 weeks get to see you. However, I'm also feeling a bit sad.
Because this is our last show
of the year, you know, together. Because, you know, believe it or not, in a fortnight, it is Christmas.
I know. Yeah. 3 weeks, no?
Well, fortnight, I think.
Yeah, fortnight. Okay, New Year.
That's
three
right.
Weeks to the
yeah,
New Year.
I know.
And it's a coincidence that Christmas and New Year fall on a Friday.
That's correct. Yeah, long weekend. Yeah. And then, you know, people are just going away. Just like today is public holiday for Selangor, right?
Yeah, we're going to pay you for half a month.
This month. So you pay me peanuts. So half a peanut, I guess, right? Okay. Do you know that next year, you know, well, I guess we've been doing this for how long? 11 years now. Next year is going to our 12th year.
Right. Yes.
A bit scary, right?
I know.
this we've partnership. Grown old. That's right.
Yeah.
Together.
But, you know, been through a lot.
I know, but this is probably the most memorable year.
Why?
Well, because, you know, don't get to see you so often.
Right?
And also, I guess it's a year for reflection. You know, a lot of us have to stay at home. And then I guess some people think, you know, it's been horrible. But I guess it's, you know, a lot of us needed to take a break and then reflect and think about what we want to do for next.
Not just that. I think it was a steep learning experience.
Indeed. Especially for a pet like me.
Why?
I can't deal with gadgets and ordering food using mobile phones.
It has nothing to do with being an a pet. Right. But are you optimistic about 2021?
Extremely. I'm ready to go. You know, it's like, you know, we're talking about IHH having all the vaccines ready and everything. You know what? I think we need to move on.
Yeah. We've been through the worst, I think.
Mm-hmm.
The complete MCO. I hope we will never have to, and I don't think we will. But we've adjusted. We know how to manage it, I think. I mean, businesses have suffered a whole lot, but I think I've come to a stage where I think every one of us needs to look after ourselves. And if that is the least we can do for ourselves and for everybody else.
Indeed.
Yeah.
And that's why we have shows like this, to keep everyone informed, aware. And today it's going to be a smelly Friday.
Hardly, actually. And today's show is about COVID-19 and why is it patients lose their sense of smell and
taste.
That's absolutely.
Right. And going to be a smellless and tasteless Friday.
Friday, absolutely. And, you know, we have also always wondered, it seems like it's a really big symptom, or very obvious symptom, even without fever and everything. This is a symptom that you possibly have COVID-19. So on the line with us, Dr. Jaya Sakti Sanya Siaya. She's a consultant ENT surgeon from University of Malaya Medical Centre. She's on the line because she has actually been part of a meta-analysis. Mm-hmm. And if you're wondering what a meta-analysis is, in very layperson's terms, and I always do that, it's a study about studies, right? And to simplify, it's just studying other people's studies now.
Do you know this is level one evidence when it comes to medicine? This is the holy grail that will prove all studies either correct or incorrect. And we have that publication from University of Malaya from Dr. Jaya.
Yes, together with Dr. Muhammad Asiful Islam and Professor Dr. Baharuddin Abdullah, both of them from University Science Malaysia.
Yes.
As well as Dr. Jaya from University of Malaya. Welcome. It's an honor to have you on the show with us.
Thank you. Well, good evening. I'm Dr. Jaya Sakti Sanya Siaya. Firstly, thank you for inviting me. I am truly honored to be a part of the show today.
Anytime. If you know, we have a whole load of people on the show and it's wonderful to have you. Now, tell us about this study. Why did you think it was important to do a meta-analysis, a study of all the studies? Why?
So again, I would just briefly explain what a meta-analysis is. So
you're going to kill my simplification.
No. That was amazing, really. So meta-analysis is, like you said, it's a statistical analysis that combines results of multiple scientific studies that addresses the same question. So my question was on prevalence of olfactory dysfunction in COVID-19 patients. So it's really interesting that I managed to perform this study with Dr. Asiful and Prof. Baha, as you said. We analyzed 83 published studies across the globe.
83? Wow.
Yeah, really.
Across the world.
Across the globe, published across the globe. And we found a prevalence of 47.85. So that's nearly 50%. Mm. And what we found was the highest prevalence of olfactory dysfunction, or rather smell dysfunction, was in Europe, followed by North America, and then Asia.
Right.
So, you know, it's just interesting to see how smell, loss of smell, something rather petty as loss of smell, could actually be a symptom or an initial manifestation of a pandemic like COVID-19.
And you also found about there were more women who reported olfactory dysfunction.
So that's interesting. So we found female predominance, which is nearly 60% in our meta-analysis. Mm-hmm. And there were several factors which led to this finding. Which,
let me guess, the women could smell better. And so they realized that they had lost their sense of smell.
You are so correct.
See, I knew it. I just knew it.
Well, females are found to be more sensitive to alteration of smell.
And that's why people said the women can smell rat when they run. That's right. So that proves it all right, right? Okay. So sorry, I interrupted, Dr. Jaya.
No, really. So the other additional factors are the greater tendency of female patients to participate in a study. So in order for me to analyze, these patients need to be a part of a study. So females were found to have greater tendency for this. And the third point was on the gender variation in infective process as a whole. So
wow, it looks like you spent a great
gender
deal of time.
Gender variation.
Infective process.
What does that mean?
Or the inflammatory process. So
are females more prone to contracting?
No, basically the inflammatory or infectious process in females and males differs.
In what way?
So, just in how they react, the inflammatory process as a whole.
Okay. I mean, you've been busy analyzing more than 80 published articles, and then, you know, sub-analyzed, you know, what all these things. Well, before asking you why is there such a difference, I'm saying, how many people were involved in this group? And then why do people look into specifically on these olfactory dysfunctions?
I'm sorry?
Why do all these publications look specifically into this area? Is it because this is such a new manifestations of symptoms for COVID? And also how helpful it is when all the publication gathered together.
So what actually happens is people don't realize that olfactory dysfunction is actually an initial presentation, maybe an initial presentation of COVID-19. And besides that, it may be the sole presentation, meaning that patients may not exhibit other common or rather popular symptoms of COVID-19, such as fever or cough or loss of just shortness of breath.
So what you're saying is you could have COVID-19 by just losing your sense of smell.
Yes.
And recover. And that's the whole process. That was the only symptom that you presented.
How extraordinary,
yes.
Right?
Yeah. And I was reading about this one guy who didn't realize it and only went to do a COVID-19 test when he realized that was one of the symptoms much later find
correct.
He had antibodies and didn't realize at all.
He already recovered from
it. Yes, he had.
So can you clarify, or have you got any speculations of why is there a ethnic disparity between North Americans and the Asians? And also, why is there a difference between men and women when it comes to the disparity in the loss of smell and taste?
So what we actually found is that it is because of the variation in viral genomic sequencing. So it's just that the viral strain in Europe and in Asia and also in North America differs. So that is why what's interesting that the earlier papers in China, which was the epicenter of the pandemic, only reported almost nearly 5% of olfactory dysfunction. When at the same time, a multi-center study in Europe conducted by Leishin et al. Found almost 88% of their patients who presented with olfactory dysfunction.
I'm going to take a step back. Can you explain to us what enables us to smell? What is the anatomy? I mean, we know it's the nose, but what's actually happening when we smell?
Okay. So as we know, nose is the organ of smell. So which specifically is the olfactory cleft, and which is in the olfactory cleft, which is located in the roof of the nose. So within this olfactory cleft lies the smell receptors, or we call that olfactory receptors. So what this receptors does is they detect and they transfer information of smell to the brain. So how COVID causes loss of smell is SARS-CoV-2, the virus that causes COVID-19, it enters body by binding with an enzyme known as the ACE2 or angiotensin converting 2 enzyme. And there's been study that reported that this ACE2 is abundantly present in the olfactory cleft. So now this virus, it binds with the ACE2 receptors, damages the smell receptors, and hence patients lose their smell.
Is that more? Is that a transient phenomenon or is that a permanent phenomenon once they lost their smell?
So in COVID-19, it's interesting that most patients with loss of smell regain their sense of smell within a couple of weeks. But then there are still patients who currently have permanent loss of smell.
Do we know why? I mean, if olfactory neurons, am I correct? Mm-hmm. They are capable of regenerating.
Regenerating, yes,
why
true.
Why is it doesn't regenerate
correct.
For
that
some?
Is still under study. So there are many studies which is still being carried out. It depends on the host and virus interaction. So different people have different reaction to the virus. So it's we call that the host virus interaction, which differs.
I know this is digressing a little, but does that mean the virus can actually get to the brain as well? Because it's so close.
Yes, it's true.
It's an extension. So that your nose, your olfactory receptor is an extension of your brain.
So
isn't
it gets
true?
To the brain quickly as well. But do we have much evidence to show that?
Yes, there is. So, in fact, loss of smell is actually one of the neurological symptoms.
Oh, boy.
So you think it's just a nose? It's part of your brain.
No, it is. That's probably why people have all sorts of symptoms even after, or they have after effects of COVID-19. After recovering, they have head issues and all of that.
That's why Dr. Jaya, as an ENT surgeon, is in the absolute front line, literally, right?
Oh. Really?
Yeah. You know, Dr. Jaya, you have mentioned so many of these symptoms.
So, I would just like to share. So I conducted a study in a single institute in one of the tertiary hospitals in Malaysia. And we actually found that 21% of patients in the local population ended up with loss of smell. And interestingly, 70% recovered within a week.
That's fantastic. So, that's good to know.
Yeah, it's good to know.
We're doing all right.
And then, that's going to generate a lot of interest amongst the listeners out there, because they're going to ring in, they're going to tell us, they're going to ask you all those questions about their sense of smell and whether they're smelling rats or not this Friday.
I think in my mind, the takeaway so far is lose your sense of smell and taste. It's a red flag.
Yeah.
Whether you have fever or runny nose or whatever, it's probably going to be absent.
Yes,
and women will detect that red flags a lot better than men.
How would you articulate you lost your... And that's the other thing I want to ask you. Is there a particular odor that you don't smell? Or, we'll come back and find out more, because if I can smell something stronger than George could, what does that mean? And do you lose it? Because if you don't lose it completely, how would you know, right? So give us a call. The number is 7733 2900, WhatsApp 0187898899, or tweet us at BFM Radio. Good afternoon and welcome back. I'm Mira Siviso, the It's Our Doctor in the House series, Dr. George Lee, consultant urologist in the studio with me. And joining us on the line is Dr. Jaya Sakthi Sanyasia. She's from University of Malaya. She's also a consultant ENT surgeon. She's done a meta-analysis and looked at about 83 high-quality studies from 27 countries. And she authored this study together with Dr. Muhammad Asiful Islam and Professor Dr. Baharuddin Abdullah, both from University Science Malaysia. So we're trying to find out from Dr. Jaya what exactly were the findings. They actually sort of studied the loss of sense of smell for COVID-19 patients. And, you know, Dr. Jaya, what I wanted to ask you is, why did you choose to focus on this particular symptom? Are you there, Dr. Jaya?
Yeah. What I realized is, yes, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, so what I realized is something as simple and petty as loss of smell can actually be an initial indication for a disease that caused a pandemic. Mm-hmm. And I think it is it's imperative for the public to realize. And when it was first mentioned by Professor Claire Hopkins in the UK, I was just interested on how are the numbers of patients with loss of smell across the globe. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, our findings were rather interesting.
Yeah, okay. Very good.
What about specific odors that may be affected by the COVID-19 infection? Do you think all of it, is it, you were saying, because not everybody loses all sense
right.
of smell. And how effective would a smell test be if you don't identify the odor linked to infection? And I'm, you know, talking about the boys here who are not familiar with most smells, actually.
So, okay. So smell as a whole can be tested based on subjective test and objective test. So subjective test is a self-reported like questionnaires and online surveys. And objective tests are more specific and they use a variety of smell kit tests available. But the problem with the ongoing pandemic is objective tests cannot be carried out extensively as it's usually expensive. And also, it puts the examiner at risk. So now just say for patients at home or people at home who are listening, how could you do a smell test yourself? So people could actually do their own tests by using home products like smelling coffee or garlic or by tasting oranges, lemon, and sugar. So if you're talking about specific smell, I think at this current situation, that is difficult. So it could. So when you're talking about smell, there could be, you could have anosmia, which is complete loss of smell. And then there is hyposmia, reduction of smell. So again, it's a very subjective thing. So patient can actually say, they get up one day and say, I couldn't actually smell my coffee. Or and then you suddenly realize that you can't smell perfume. So this is a red flag. So you should get yourself a swab test, and I would definitely advise a standard precautionary isolation.
Yeah. Is this a sudden loss or does it happen gradually?
Well, usually it's a sudden loss, but basically it is a new onset. So previously you may not have had this symptom, and it's something that you just found recently.
Yeah. Well, I'm sure you're kind of like a raised alarm for some listeners out there who said, my goodness, I woke up this morning and didn't smell the roses, right? Okay. So are there any other diseases that may mimic such a loss of smell? I mean, obviously, we don't want to alarm the whole Klang Valley to ring you.
Well, yes, yes, true.
I mean, I live with a man who cannot smell because of, you know, a deviated septum and horrible sinuses.
Yeah, right do elaborate and do tell us, you know, well, should people out there who can't smell be alarmed?
Well, okay, so loss of smell in COVID-19 is usually, you know, differs from loss of smell in common cold. So when loss of smell or taste happens in COVID-19, experts consider that as true loss because the virus affects the nerve cells. So it's interesting that recently a professor from UK, Professor Carl Philpott, he compared loss of smell and taste in three groups of patients, one with COVID-19, the other with common cold, and the third being the healthy or the control group. And what he found was loss of smell in COVID-19 is more profound than in common cold.
Mm.
And interestingly, loss of smell in COVID-19 patients is not accompanied by stuffy nose or runny nose,
uh-huh.
which is common right. in common cold,
okay.
right? So, yeah, so besides that, loss of smell in COVID is usually the only symptom or sole manifestation, or it's a new onset.
Okay, Chako has just texted in to say the acid test for Malaysians is durian and belacan. I wonder if COVID has the ability to block those smells. You know,
can you develop a drug for us to block those smells anyway? That might be useful, right?
If only those smells yes. can kill the virus, that would help us a bit.
Or maybe the durian can kill the virus as well.
You never know, right?
Or the warm water.
Okay. And, you know, what are tips or coping strategies, Dr. JR, if you do indeed lose it? And, you know, my worry is if you don't regain it fully or don't regain it at all, have you come across patients like that?
Yes, of course. So first, I would just briefly like to explain that loss of smell could actually severely affect patients' quality of life.
Uh-huh.
So it's important that people or patients with loss of smell seek medical treatment. So what we can actually do is something known as a retraining therapy. So we can actually retrain or relearn how to smell. So there are commercially available essential oils available,
mm-hmm.
which was used as a part of olfactory retraining therapy. So how it's actually done is four intense essential oils such as rose, eucalyptus, lemon and cloves are used. Patients need to sniff in each bottle for about 20 seconds twice a day over a period of 4 to 6 months. So early reports on this retraining therapy in post-COVID-19 patients have showed promising results.
Mm-hmm.
So now patients who are listening may be thinking, so what if I'm unable to get hold of this essential oils? So you can actually use household items with strong scent,
mm-hmm.
such as, again, coffee, cloves, lemongrass, or perfume. So the idea basically is to retrain your sense of smell, which you are previously familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Do you think you have a good sense of smell? And it is directly affects your sense of taste. Why is that?
So so in May, we have something known as a retronasal olfaction. So patients who have blocked nose are unable to particularly taste any because of loss of taste molecules. So I would like to also add that COVID-19, we found that the SARS-CoV-2 virus also affects the taste receptors, mm-hmm. which are located within the oral cavity.
Oh my goodness,
right.
That's disastrous yeah. for people like
yeah,
us.
<that's> correct.
So, I mean, I like to kind of pick up the word you used twice today, which is petty, something petty like
yeah.
the smell. But clearly you highlighted people who lost their smell. They obviously have been taking it for granted, and then that affects their quality of life. I mean,
right.
you come across patients, I'm sure, due to trauma or other neurological conditions that render them anosmia for life, right? What sort
right.
of like a life would they live if they have no smell? What sort of quality of life impairment do they encounter?
So, like I mentioned before, these patients, they end up with really poor quality of life, because imagine being unable to smell a perfume or coffee or even taste your favorite dish. But what is dangerous or life-threatening is when a patient is unable to taste or smell rotten food, or even gas leaks. So this is really dangerous. One more thing is studies have actually proven that patients with loss of smell actually ends up with depression and also some form of social withdrawal.
Yeah, something we clearly take for granted, just how important smell and taste is.
Yeah.
I mean, I just, you know, earlier on you said, imagine you can't taste your food. I think half a Malaysian can never survive without tasting your food, right?
And smell and taste are two out of your five senses, really. Mm. That's knocking out two.
Yeah,
that's
true.
A lot. That is a lot. We've really taken it for granted until
Indeed.
Now, isn't it? Any other observations that you can share with us, Dr. Jaya, regarding your findings?
Well, yes, I think it's just basically lack of awareness amongst the public, I feel. Public needs to realize that any alteration in smell or taste needs to be investigated, as in immediately, while taking standard isolation.
I mean, apart from retraining, which you mentioned earlier, when you come across patient with anosmia or hyponosmia, do you have any other intervention or any medication that can rectify such condition?
Okay, wait, you confused everybody with anosmia and hyposmia.
Yeah.
What would you like to elaborate?
Sounds like someone's some trendy celebrity's children's name, right?
There's another one, dysosmia.
All right, all these nosmia. Would you like to let clarify for the benefit of listeners, Dr.
Sure.
Jay?
So dysosmia basically is alteration in smell. And hyposmia means reduction in smell. And anosmia is basically complete loss of smell.
Mm-hmm. So prior to COVID era, how many patients do you come across with such condition independent of an infection?
So usually when it's associated with common cold, or as Mira mentioned earlier, because of other structural abnormality, as in deviated nasal septum or any mass within the nasal cavity. So that's rather common. But then each of them are managed differently. So just say common cold. So what the GPs normally prescribe patients are with nasal steroids. So they are prescribed with steroid sprays, which is not advised in COVID-19 at all. So again, it is because of the pathophysiology or what causes cold and what causes COVID-19. So in COVID-19, the nerve is affected. So steroids are not going to help. Whereas in common cold, the conduction pathway is affected because of swelling or edema, which the nasal steroids could actually help. One more thing is usage of steroid either topically or systemically is, has to be with caution because it may flare up the infection in COVID-19. So,
Okay. What's been your experience dealing with COVID-19 patients? Do you deal with them at all when it comes to ENT issues?
So I've actually seen a couple of patients who have recovered from post-COVID. And as I mentioned earlier, the study that I conducted, whereby 70% of patients recovered within a week. So there were patients who did not recover, and we followed them up over a period of 3 months. And what we found is within a period of 2 months, almost all patients recovered.
Okay. So it's good news for
it
us.
It is good news. So basically,
Any treatment. So that's the thing I would like to highlight, without any treatment.
Yeah. Okay. So essentially, you're just highlighting that this is a symptom that people need to be aware. And also, there's a lot of disparity between different strain of the virus.
Yes.
And then for some countries, it's more, some countries it's less. In Malaysia, you quoted in that tertiary centre to be about 40%.
Is that correct? 21%.
21%.
21%. So it's interesting because it's comparable to the neighbouring countries like Singapore. So Singapore did their own study, which is roughly about 20 to 30% as well.
Do you think that disparity might be due to genetic makeup between the North American, Caucasian population and Asian population? I know you highlighted the different strain or infectiousness of the virus. However, do you think genetic differences between us make some difference in that sort
True.
Of... Yeah.
We did Definitely. Speak to a virologist about that, remember?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The virologist from India, and he said that's his understanding is that every population takes up a different genetic makeup, mm-hmm. and so the virus takes its form in a different way in those populations. So there you go. So that's probably why in Asia, it's you were saying in Malaysia, it's 20%, isn't
yes.
it?
Yes.
So we have a question here. Why is it that not all COVID patients lose their sense of smell and taste?
Again,
or maybe they did and didn't realize.
yeah, that could be one. And again, it is the tissue host variation. So different people react differently towards the virus.
Yeah. Okay. My last question to you, really, Dr. Jaya, is that I'm still very not very happy about this male female disparity because I still don't think Mira smells better than I do.
I do.
Yeah. Well, apart from smelling rats, right? Okay. But you know, seriously, is that true that women's olfactory acuity is a lot more enhanced and more well developed than men's?
Yes, based on my meta-analysis.
What?
George.
Tough luck.
Tough luck.
So
okay.
As you said, meta-analysis is the analysis of all analysis. So
it's type 1A evidence-based medicine.
We've had to clean, you know, poop and pee from God knows where.
Well, so years of training of cleaning poops and pees.
enhances your sense of smell. You can't run away from that.
I thought that would suppress it and, you know, you'd never want to smell that again.
I can still smell the toilets in my primary school. I can still smell it.
I'm okay. not too sure.
Can you do that?
Good.
Can you do that? No, you can't.
I didn't even realize that the toilet, you know, from my primary school has some smell.
It did. Oh, I went to government school.
So did I.
Yeah, I know.
I went to government school
Gotabaro. There was a smell. See, you probably didn't realize it, you know, because you walked past.
Okay, I accept it. Yeah, men, women, you know, it's just women will smell it and men just... simply put up with it.
Tough luck. It's in the studies. It's in the meta-analysis.
Yes.
A study about studies. Thank you very much. Would you have a message for us, Dr. Jaya?
Thank you so much. So new onset, loss of smell and loss of taste should be treated as COVID-19 until proven otherwise. So please get yourself tested. Thank you.
You know, Mira,
Merry Christmas.
Yeah. Oh, that's very kind. You know, I think after today, I'm never going to take my sense of smell and my taste for granted because, you know, when you lose it, seriously, imagine you can't really taste your, you know, sambal belacan anymore.
So I'm going to ask you now, last time we did a show on diabetic retinopathy, you said your biggest fear was losing your sight.
That's right.
And that scared the hell out of you. So is it still your sense of sight? Or?
Well, now I'm 52. I'm losing my hair is probably my biggest fear.
Your senses, George.
Okay, all right. Okay.
Smell, taste, sight, hearing and touch.
Still my sight,
okay,
really.
All right, then. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you for joining us. That was Dr. Jaya Sakthi Sanyasiaya, a consultant ENT surgeon from University of Malaya Medical Center, together with Dr. George Lee, consultant urologist. In our Doctor in the House series, why COVID-19 patients lose their sense of taste and smell on the bigger picture. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.